Good morning. Good morning, everybody. As was said earlier, there will be classes on Election Day, and we have not yet finalized the schedule for the week following, which is the week of Shabbos HaGadol. Most probably we will have classes that that we're going in, that is going to the 4th and the 5th of this, and it's of course getting very close, and tension begins to rise, but I think we will learn then, but I still have to discuss it with the chairman of the board, my wife, and a number of other members of the staff, and you'll find out via Torah tidbits, and of course we'll announce it next week. Okay. Anyway, yes, Pesach is in the air, and we're going to the next two or three shiurim. We're going to deal with the Haggadah of Pesach, and I'm doing it because I'm personally under, let's say, a certain degree of pressure, or I'm in the midst of a project that we'll tell you more about next week. Basically, what it really is. One of my sons-in-law and I were in the process of printing or reprinting the Haggadah called the Haggadah Leil Shimurim. I don't think it's been printed in about 50, 60, 70 years. Certainly not the way in which we're doing it. It was all printed as far as always were in Rashi script, and you see what you see in front of you now, you're the first ones in the world to see what the text is going to look like, and my son-in-law Yehuda Goldhart has also added all of the all of the sources. The original Haggadah didn't have sources, but all of the sources are available here. In other words, if the author quotes a Gemara or a Mishnah or a Pasuk in Chumash or Tanakh, it's all clearly stated here. It's a Haggadah that I fell in love with about 30 years ago, and I think I went through 3 copies already. Oh, now I'll have hundreds of copies to go through. Then again, I hope I won't have hundreds of copies, I think. I just hope that everybody is going to be buying them, they'll be selling them at all of the street corners. I had wanted to give a biography of the author, but I'm just going to give very brief notes now, because I have a feeling a lot of our people are not here for one reason or another today, so we'll save it for next week in Yitz Hashem. The author of the Leil Shimurim was Rabbi Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein. He was never called Epstein. He was always Epstein. Rabbi Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein was first and foremost the author of the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan is a halachic work on all of Shulchan Aruch. Orach Chaim, Yerideya, Eben Ezra, Choshen Mishpat. The only such work that has been done since the Shulchan Aruch was composed by Rabbi Yosef Karo. We'll talk more about him. He's also known as the father of the Baal Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima Chumash was written by his son Baruch Halevi Epstein. His grandson was Rav Meir Bar Ilan, Rav Meir Berlin. We'll find out a little bit more about the family when we get down to it, but here it is. Leil Shimurim. I haven't seen anybody, I've done a lot of work on his biography, I haven't seen anybody who says this, but it occurred to me as I was working on it, his first work, and by the way, give you the time frame, 19th century. He died, I believe, in 1907. Don't write it down. I think 1907. And lived a long life, so that all of his work was mainly the second half of the 19th century. His first work was a sefer called Or LaYishurim, Light. Or LaYishurim, Light to the Righteous, and it is a comprehensive perush on a sefer that was written by the Rabbeinu Tam, an enemy of Rashi, one of the Tosafists, who wrote a sefer called Sefer HaYashar. And he wrote Or LaYishurim, he lights up this sefer. It occurred to me, I haven't seen anybody who says it in all of the biographies, unless I didn't look well enough, but I didn't see anybody who says it. Here is his sefer Or LaYishurim on the Rabbeinu Tam, and here is his Haggadah Leil Shimurim. In the first section that we're going to study now, he mentions the pasuk of Leil Shimurim, but I think he may have used it just as in Or LaYishurim, and in Leil Shimurim, the last two letters are Yud Mem, Yechiel Michel. He was Yechiel Michel Alevi Epstein. Leil Shimurim, this is the work of Yechiel Michel. There is a third sefer, I think he wrote toward the end of his life, also ends with Yud Mem. I think the Mayim, something or other Mayim, and also Yud Mem at the end, Yechiel Michel. Alright, but that, he didn't write an introduction to the Haggadah. There's no introduction. Usually a Mechaber, an author, writes an introduction. I have a feeling that his first piece on the Haggadah is in place of an introduction. Kehalachma Anya. Everybody knows the first part. This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Yeah. And then, of course, it goes on to say, whoever is in need, let him come in to eat. Whoever needs to partake in the carbon pesach, may come in and eat. Hashat ha'achav, this year we're here, l'shon abba, b'yara the Yisrael, next year the land of Israel. This year we are enslaved, and next year, Mi'at Hashem, we're going to be free people. Okay, we're going to be free. That's the famous opening to the Haggadah. Everybody knows that. Now, though he will not say it, I'm reading into what he says. While the text in his Haggadah is Holach Mo'anya, when he comes to the Perush, he writes K'Holach Mo'anya, like the bread of affliction. In other words, we're not saying Holach Mo'anya, this, the matzahs on the table, this is the bread of affliction. What we're doing is like the bread of affliction. Why? So let's go, just follow me. Don't be frustrated, you know, you see all of this text over here, it's helping me, I have to go over it and, check it out well, so you're going to assist me in checking it out. Yesh lefarish ha'pimam Yishayahu ha'navi. To understand the Halach Ma'anya, he brings a number of psukim from Yishayahu. I have them down in number 2. I have it in number 2. Let's read it from there, and then we'll go back into the text. Shimu Eli wrote, Faith Tzedek, listen unto me, those who pursue righteousness. Mivakshei Hashem, those who seek out God. Habitu el tzur chutzavtem, take a look at the rock from which you were hewn. A tzur is a rock
Ma'oz, Tzur, Yeshuati, Tzur, Tzur Yisrael v'kol alahu, Barechet Medinat Yisrael, Tzur.
Take a look at the rocks who chops them from which you were hewn. Ve'el makevet bor nu karten, and take a look at the pit from which you were dug. What does he mean by that? Like, you have to text the psukim, you have them down at number 2 as well. Yeah, but the one down at the bottom has Likudus. So it helps some of us. It does not help all of us. Habitu Avram Avichem. Take a look, the Navi says that your father Avram, the El Soro Ticholalchem, Soro from whom you all began. It all began. We say Tichle Shona Vekilotel, you let the year and its curses end. Tochel Shona Uvirchotel, let the new year begin with its blessings. Take a look at Avram Avichem, your father, Avram del Sora Techolelchem, and Sorah, who began you, Ki Echod Kerativ, I called him one. Vo Avarchehu, I blessed him, Vo Arbehu, and I multiplied him. Okay, and then the next pasuk seems to be out of left field. Ki nicham Hashem Tzion, God consoles Tzion. Nicham kol chorvoter, he has consoled all of her ruins. Vayosem midborok Eden, he has turned her desert into a garden of Eden. Varvata, and the dry steppes, the plains, ki gan Hashem, like the garden of God. Sasa v'simcha yibot seba, joy and happiness will be found in her. Toda v'kol zimra, thanksgiving and the sound of joy. Now, we started with Avram and Sarah. Yeshayahu was talking about Avram and Sarah, and Avram and Sarah, he goes to God consoling Zion. What's the relationship between the two? What is being said over here? So the Baal Orach HaShulchan, the Baal Leil Shemurim, has his own way of learning this psukim. And he says what's being said over here is the following. Shimu Eli wrote, Pit Sedek Mevakshi Hashem, take a look at Bor Chutzaf, at Sur Chutzafdem, the rock from which you were hewn, and the pit from which you were dug. He says, that rock from which you were hewn was absolutely dry, with no possibility, like a rock, no possibility of giving birth. Avram Avinu was not capable of having children. Sarah in Menu was like an empty pit. There's nothing in the pit. Both Avram and Sarah were by nature, by their very nature, it was impossible for them to give birth. And that's why he says, take a look at Avram Avichem and Sarah from whom you began, Ki Echod Kiratif. He was one. And in the nature of things, he would have remained one forever. But you know what happened? Something changed. Va'aborchehu, I blessed him. And you know what happened as a result of that blessing? Arbehu, I multiplied him. So the Baal Orach HaShulchan says the following. You know what this pasuk is telling us? From the very beginning of Jewish history, we were born in miracle. Our entire coming onto the face of this earth was something that was wrought by God Himself. Within the nature of the world, there was no way that Avram and Sarah could have had children. And therefore the Navi Yeshayahu was saying the very existence of the Jewish people from its very beginnings was all miracle. Therefore, I want to tell you this miracle extends throughout all of Jewish history. And therefore, Ki Nicham Hashem Tzion, exactly what God did at the beginning, He will do again and again for the Jewish people, that Tzion, that had become destroyed, completely, utterly destroyed, turned into a wasteland, a midbar, then Midbar will become Gan Hashem. Because this is God who is consoling the Jewish people. The Baal Torah to me, the Baal Parach HaShulchan is going to go on to say that at the very, very beginning of the Haggadah opens with words of great hope and optimism. And begins therefore by saying, number one, the very birth, the coming into being. I don't think we can use the word birth. The coming into being of the Jewish people was miraculous. There are going to be periods in Jewish history that are going to be completely miracle, not derech hateva. That's really what he's saying in that first paragraph. Now take a look at the next paragraph. Back up into the text. Ubazeh yesh lefarish haposik. This is how we can explain the pasuk. Leil shimurim hu laHashem. This is a pasuk in Parashat Bo. You will of course notice immediately that this is where he took the name of the Haggadah from. Leil shimurim hu laHashem. This is a day, a night of anticipation. A night of anticipation. God looked forward to this night so that he can miraculously bring the Jewish people out of Egypt. Leil Shimurim Hu Hashem. It is a night of anticipation for God Lahutziyom Me'eretz Mitzrayim to take them out of the land of Egypt. Hu Halayla Hazeh LaHashem Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'dorotam. This night is a night of watching and waiting. The word Shimurim has a number of meanings. In the first part of the pasuk, it is the night of anticipation. From the time that God told Avram that your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years and then I will take them out, it was this night that was set aside for the moment of freedom. So it is in that respect a night of anticipation. It becomes a night of anticipation for all generations because this night is Shamur, set aside for all generations. Great miracles will take place for the Jewish people at this moment in history. By the way, at the end of Haggadah, you have the Chayim Vayehi B'Chatzi HaLaila, Vayechayim Vayehi B'Chatzi HaLaila, describes all of the things that happened on the night of Pesach. So I think that he used the term Leil Shimurim as the name of his Sefer, number one. I'm not sure which is number one, which is number two, but let's say, first of all, because it ends with Yud Mem, Yechiel Michal, and also because the message of this whole Haggadah is a message of great, great hope. Great hope. It's not so bad. Whenever you think it's bad, you should know it's not so bad. And therefore he's going to go on to say that here it is, Pesach is coming. There are people who are ill, there are people who are poor, who don't know how they're going to put a Pesach together, they don't know where their hope is going to come from. And yes, we know that Jews throughout history have opened up their hearts and their pockets in order to provide for people. And so he says, listen, you have to know our survival is always a miracle. And the Rebbeinu will take care of all of you just as he has taken care of us throughout all of history, or through most of history. That's exactly what's going to happen now. So, let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 lines into the second paragraph. The Lazer therefore bore Baal HaGadah Bereshit to Vado. The Baal HaGadah comes at the opening of his words with Nachem Otam to console them. The poor, the underprivileged, will daber al libam, to speak to their hearts, shiu chazokim b'emunah Hashem v'lo yidagu. They should be strong in their faith in God and not to worry. V'yaminu b'hashgachasa ad'iflo. They should believe in God's wondrous divine providence. V'agam shalpi ateva. Even though in the normal order of things, the choke mehem like Yeshua, salvation is distant from them. God conducts himself with us beyond nature. All of Jewish history is beyond nature. And anybody who thinks that we're going to resolve our problems with agreements and with negotiation and with withdrawals and all sorts of other things knoweth not what he speaketh. It's not going to work that way. To sell Shama, that's why it says Kahol Lachma Anya. That our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. So you see, I believe here he doesn't say it so clearly, but this is what he means. He reads the text, not that we are making the statement at the beginning, you see this matzah? This is the bread of affliction. No, 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 the message of him is for the future. Just like we went through a period that we ate that bread of affliction and we went out to freedom and it was all miraculous, that's exactly the way God is going to continue to conduct himself with regard to the Jewish people. Kloma lechem kazeh, this kind of bread we ate in Egypt. The in kolzeh, despite the fact that we were there, Ozar Hashem Atom, God helped us lemalo min hateva, beyond the limits of nature. Therefore our hearts should not fall. Now, we should accept everything with joy. Now, anybody who's hungry, let him come and eat by others. Anybody who needs for Chag HaPesach, should go and join a group for Korban Pesach. Or in our time it means to accept from charity. The Yisa in of Lamaram and lift one's eyes heavenward. La Sot Imanu Nisim Niflaot. Boy, do we need Nisim Niflaot? The Yekaveh La Shem Lechazdo Vetuvo, and he will. We should hope to God for His kindness and His goodness. Ad Shashata Hocha. This year we are here. Lishana Bobar of Yisrael. The Kamosha B'Sofa Haggadah, and here I believe, and he says, just like at the end of Haggadah, we're going to say Lishon Habob Yerushalayim. What he's really doing is, he's taking the beginning of Haggadah, and he's taking the end of Haggadah, and he's putting them all together, and he's turning it into a message of great hope and anticipation for Jews and Jewish history. Kamosha B'Sofa Haggadah, just like at the end of Haggadah, they say Lishon Habob Yerushalayim. We say it at the beginning. I have a feeling that this was his introduction. He didn't write a formal introduction. I think the first ones that ever wrote a formal introduction to this Haggadah were myself and my son-in-law, you understand. And all that I did at this point was write a biography of the author. So it was certainly one of the giants of Pesach Halacha, and in the Haggadah he emerges not only as a giant in Halacha, he emerges as a giant in Hashkafa, and that's what I want to try and show you during the course of the next few weeks. Okay, you know, I don't know why I always read the present into anything that I learn. Can you imagine the rabbis of the Haggadah, the rabbis, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who wrote the Haggadah? Do you know what they did in the Haggadah? At the very beginning of the Haggadah, they said, this year we're here, next year we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. L'shon Abba, B'Yerushalayim. Do you understand that the rabbis are creating false hopes? How do they know that it's going to be? How can they take this? Next year comes and we're not going to be in Yerushalayim. People are going to lose their faith. They're going to fall apart at the seams. Just somebody yesterday said over in my name that I was one of those who said that the uprooting of Gush Katif, Hoyo Lo Tihi, it's not going to be. By the way, I never said it. I'm not there yet. I don't have such broad shoulders. But certainly, Merkel Yell certainly said it. So all the finer mention, you understand? What a terrible thing he did. How do you create such false hopes I think they should cut this out of the Haggadah. For 2,500 years, our rabbis told us to say at the beginning of the Haggadah, this year we're here, next year we're going to be in Eretz. This year we are we're slaves, next year we're going to be living free. How do they do that? Jews live in hope. Without hope, there's only one other possibility, and that's despair. Any people that didn't live with hope fell into despair. And because of despair, they deteriorated, degenerated, and disappeared from the face of the earth. As I told one of my friends who was complaining about the rabbis and said, it's not going to be. I told him I'd like to see him meet up with Rabbi Akiva, who said about Bar Kokhba, Dain Malkom Mashiach. This man is Mashiach. Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. I said, I understand. Do you think that Klal Yisrael ever held it against Rabbi Akiva that he said this is Melech HaMashiach? And you can see as we go through the Haggadah, Rabbi Akiva, of course, is going to be one of the giants of the Haggadah. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to come to the story of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Taufan and Rabbi Yeshua, all the great rabbis. Do you know where the great rabbis are meeting for the Seder? Not at Turplas, not at Turplas, not in Hawaii, and not at the Yamanah. But they're all in the hottest place in the world, they're all in Bnei Brak. And there's going to be another piece later on in the Haggadah over here. Haggadah's Leil Shmurim, where he asks a question that's asked by a lot of the Mefarshim. What are they doing by Rabbi Akiva? And he lists Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud, Rabbi Yeshua lived in Sachnin. They lived all over the place. Not only that, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that on Yom Kippur you're supposed to be at home. Shabbos you can go away from home, but Yom Kippur you have to be at home. So here is the Rabbi Eliezer who says that on Yom Kippur you have to be at home, and he's in Bnei Brak. What are they all doing in Bnei Brak? So the Leil Mishur Shimurim says a different approach. He says the one giant who continued to maintain the hope and anticipation of the Jewish people was Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, in his honor, they went to be with him, maybe more than in his honor. They wanted to hear from Rabbi Akiva words of hope and encouragement. They didn't want to hear from Rabbi Akiva, listen boys. Let's call a spade a spade. We're living in the real world. We're finished. We don't stand a chance. We're wiped out. That was not Rabbi Akiva. The famous story with Rabbi Akiva, as he and the rabbis are walking up toward Har HaBayit, and they see a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies, so they began to cry, and he began to laugh. Why are you laughing? They say to